Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. This is Kelly Barner, Managing Director of Buyers Meeting Point. Today, I'm welcoming Stephanie LaPierre as my guest. Stephanie is the CEO of Tealbook, a cloud-based platform that delivers actionable supplier intelligence to the enterprise. She's a born entrepreneur with two successful companies to her credit, both of which happen to require knowledge of procurement processes, as well as how to clearly articulate a value proposition to professional buyers. Given her experience advising executives about supplier discovery and then working with them to build out the vision and value proposition of Tealbook, Stephanie is uniquely qualified to offer up advice about selling into procurement. Welcome, Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So one of the things that I sort of mentioned in my introduction here that I think is unique about your experience is that you really have worked on both sides of what we might call the great divide. So you have experience working from a procurement perspective in companies, whether as a practitioner or as a consultant coming in as a third party to advise through a process. But you also have experience now in sales, in business development as the CEO of Tealbook. How do you think understanding the procurement perspective has affected your go-to-market strategy in terms of enterprise technology?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think every procurement professional should be on the supplier side at some point. And potentially every supplier who's in business development should probably spend some time on the procurement side to better understand each other. So it's definitely a unique position to have been sitting on both sides of the fence, if you wish. What I can say is that being in procurement for, 10 years or so and working with suppliers, I have immense respect for how much time is being spent, the amount of resources and energy that goes into building your business. And I've always been extremely respectful of the time spent and made sure that suppliers that have ever gone through the process when I was on the procurement side, that it was done, with respect and in consideration of their capabilities in relation to what clients were looking for and providing feedback, et cetera. But I have to say that coming on now, selling into procurement, a technology, a solution, it's humbling. The tables definitely are turned, and I do believe it makes me probably more educated and maybe empathize with, what procurement has to take into consideration when they're looking and selecting suppliers. But it's definitely, one of those situations where you, it's humbling, to say the least.
And I think one of the things that, even within procurement, we may forget about is that, we kind of think of all purchases as being the same. You're walking through this process, and there may be points where you don't necessarily know which supplier is going to end up being selected or which combination of suppliers, but there's a little bit less of an emotional roller coaster, right? And I've now had a little bit of experience on the sales or the business development side too, where you make this connection, maybe you consider it a qualified lead, you learn more, you prepare, you tailor your pitch, you're trying to form relationships and listen and really get a good understanding of what it is that this prospective customer is looking for so that you're tailoring your solution within the realm of what you do well so that you put your very best foot forward. And in order to do that effectively, there can't be any compartmentalization, right? You can't say, but I need to keep it in perspective. I may not get this deal. This may not work out. You're not going to be effective at communicating your competitive advantage if you look at it that way. How would you compare sort of the maybe the emotional or the energy side of going through the sourcing process as a procurement professional versus going through the lead generation, business development, and then sourcing process from a supplier perspective?
Well, I mean, they're coming from very different places. From a procurement perspective, what you're looking for is the best solution for the business requirements. And you're looking to ensure that the stakeholders that you're working with will end up with the best partners, with the best outcomes, that the company will be protected, and that the supplier that's going to be selected will have, you know, a successful partnership with the organization. So there's definitely a lot of pressure to make sure that you're getting the right information, you're selecting the right suppliers, and that the outcome is positive. The typical procurement certainly will go, the professional will go through that process many times. They're well trained, you know, they know what to look for and manage a process that, will result hopefully in the best outcome possible. On the supplier side, you know, it's day and night. I mean, listen, they put so much, time, so much energy, as you mentioned, and you do have to put your best foot forward. You can't, when you're in a competitive situation, you do have to do what it takes to win the business. And it's a process that's, as you mentioned, it can be a definite roller coaster, and it's very energizing to go through it. The hope of getting the business, especially, I guess it doesn't really even matter the size of the contract, because you could be a smaller company and have a smaller size contract in someone else's mind, which could be, game changing for that organization, or it could be a really big contract for a company that really needs it, or just, the accountability to the new business development team to bring in that business is pretty high. And then it's mitigating that, if they win, for sure, there's some, celebration, and then there's the action and, how to move that business forward effectively. But there's always only one supplier that wins the business. And, that means that there's an enormous letdown for the other companies who typically have worked really hard and have put their best foot forward and have spent, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars going through the process. And it's hard on the team, and to keep people motivated and to have to, prepare for the next opportunity and be able to put that same level of energy into the process. You need great leadership and people that are really passionate about what they're doing, and some wins, right? It has to result in new business. And, the more, I guess, educated you are, and the better you are at vetting the type of opportunities that will result in good business, the better, streamlined you're going to be in spending those resources appropriately, and, where you can have the greatest chance of turning into ROI.
Now, if we start back at the beginning of that whole process, there's almost like this magical moment that is the most difficult for suppliers to achieve. And that's when they're trying to establish that effective first contact with a prospective customer. So it's not just simply, at a trade show getting a card in somebody's hand. It's a meaningful point of contact with somebody that would be an appropriate user or consumer of your service or product that your company makes. And while that's absolutely always true when you're trying to sell in B2B, it's particularly difficult with procurement because they're sold to all the time. They're not necessarily looking to be reached out to. They're somewhat immune to elevator pitches. What do you think, based on what you've experienced, sales teams, business development teams, even marketing, what should they be doing to improve that initial contact or that initial sort of introduction to a qualified prospect?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Procurement has always been seen as the gatekeeper, that makes the process more difficult. And typically business development, people will try to get to the stakeholders, the budget holders, which is typically not procurement. Depending on, if you're selling into procurement, then yes, but not actually, maybe not even. They may have to go get the budget somewhere else and champion that. So I mean, to be able to make a difference and to be able to make a meaningful connections, you know, I've seen suppliers who are investing in developing relationship with procurement. It's quite an investment, but I think it's a really important one. We've seen, you know, now people dedicated to procurement and understanding, or have hired people coming from procurement who have connections into their organization so that they can, you know, better understand how to connect and also leverage the fact that they have relationships and influence among procurement professionals. So, you know, I do believe there's a need to understand where procurement is coming from and what their goals are, and relate to that, and give procurement an opportunity to talk about, you know, what they're trying to accomplish or what the business is trying to accomplish from their light, and how are they as individuals, professional, going to be successful in the process. And so, you know, I would say, you know, coming and pitching your product and or your services and talk about, you know, what your company is doing and how great they are, I think that's going to go pretty much over their heads. But if there's a meaningful connections where there's someone that's genuinely interested in understanding what that procurement professional is looking for, how they can be successful, and how, you know, what success looks like for their stakeholders, I think that's going to change the conversation and you're going to get more of their attention.
So let's say the supplier does manage to form that connection through procurement. They're going to go into the proper channels, right? And they move on to an evaluation process. This is an evaluation on both sides, right? Because just as much as procurement needs to learn about the capabilities of the supplier needs to qualify that lead. They need to make sure that what the company A thinks they're looking for is what they're actually looking for, but they also need to ensure that they are well positioned to meet that need in a competitive and cost-effective way. What is the best way to communicate a value proposition to procurement? On the one hand, differentiating your solution, but without being overly promotional or just simply going into pitch mode where you end up talking over the heads of the people that you're trying to connect with?
I think it depends on the process. Some processes, unfortunately, are so limited in terms of the type of interactions or questions. We certainly, you know, we've received one RFP so far. All of the relationship that we've built for Tealbook has been through our own network and relationships and have grown, you know, awareness. But in the case that we have been put through an RFP, again, the tables have turned because we've been managing personally through consulting, my consulting business before, managing RFPs that were hopefully, you know, very efficient and streamlined. But in this case, we were invited to an RFP that was extensive. It had, I think, 500 or so questions. And I'd say 95% of the questions were not relevant to us. So they were looking for a life cycle management solution, and Tealbook Supplier Intelligence, the front end of it. And so we didn't really have an opportunity to respond to say, you know, or really understand how Tealbook fit within what they were looking for. And, you know, the only way to go through the process was to answer these 500 questions, which 95% of it was no, or doesn't apply. And so we ended up deciding to walk away because it was going to take, you know, too much of our time and resources while there's other priorities and other clients where we had greater chances of winning the business and becoming partners. And so in that instance, that client missed the opportunity to look at a solution that was potentially more innovative and intuitive in a way that would enable their supplier data to be optimized and socialized before going to their other, you know, processes and tools, and didn't give themselves the chance to consider that as a possible solution. Now, luckily, we have a relationship and we've gone back and followed up after their selection was done, and we knew that they didn't have a tool like Tealbook. But just the fact that, you know, suppliers have to go through this, and in some process when they don't have the ability to ask questions or properly, you know, identify that this is a potential good opportunity that will lead to good business is really difficult. And, you know, we hear this from suppliers all the time, and they call it the infliction, the process that's been inflicted on them. Now, if they have the opportunity to have some interaction, which is, you know, what suppliers would mostly like. I think what's really important is to be selected for the right reason. And with good intelligence, procurement can bring the right suppliers to the table, making sure that those suppliers are, you know, best qualified and they will be the right potential partners. And then it's for suppliers to be able to also acknowledge that this is a good potential opportunity where they can deliver, they can do the good work, and that they can meet the needs very successfully and have the greatest chance of winning the business. And I've seen through the years, suppliers who tried, you know, try to fit what the clients were looking for as opposed to being a really good fit from the start. And, you know, when you go through a streamline and a good process, typically those suppliers would, you know, I think stand out, especially when you're comparing and you're giving some pretty good guidelines on what the expectations are. But I'd say it's a waste of time because that supplier will go through the process, will waste their time, will waste the procurement professional or the team's time and you know, won't end up winning the business. And even if they did, they probably not are going to be as successful. And so what I typically have said to suppliers is that choose carefully. It's a bit of an art, but be careful and just learn to say no. And it's hard because the opportunity may be really good, but if you don't think you have the greatest chance of winning the business and do really good work and be successful, you're better off spending that energy and that time and that money on opportunities that are a really good fit. And so I think it's, you know, it's being educated on both sides and be able to recognize where, you know, the best possible chances of success are.
Now, it's interesting that you mentioned the company where you received the RFP, right? Had to look at the questions, make the determination based on your understanding of their needs to say, you know, this participating in this process is not going to have the ROI that we need to have in order to invest the upfront effort. And yet you were able to go on and maintain a relationship with them. And I actually think that dynamic may be one of the things that sales and procurement truly have in common, is that attempt to form relationships, maintain healthy relationships between the companies. And yet, like personal relationships, B2B relationships are usually established person to person. So there's always some kind of organizational affiliation, but it's a connection between you and your point of contact at that company. You have the rapport, you're able to go back and forth. But all it takes is for one very common event, like natural turnover or internal reassignment, in order to break that one-to-one relationship. How can suppliers, and truthfully procurement for that matter, increase the long-term ROI of their relationships by ensuring that it goes beyond the individual level and is a connection between companies with maybe individual leaders sort of leading the effort at any given time?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, this is, you know, what we've seen so for so long, and we've experienced it ourselves. You know, you develop a strong relationship, you have a champion, that champion leaves the company, and then your lead is dies, right? It's really hard to maybe establish relationship with other people, or you feel like you're starting all over again. It's the same with also clients that you're working with. If the company is very siloed, it's very difficult sometimes to generate that visibility awareness among other teams within the same organization who may not have the time or the priority or just are not aware. So it's hard to make that connection. Unfortunately, you know, and that's what inspired me to build Teal Book is that what I saw in the spark, and I think a lot of procurement professionals like that story, probably suppliers as well, is that, you know, what inspired me in the moment that, you know, made me think that there was a potential opportunity was a client who had a giant binder under her desk, and she wanted me, I was just starting a strategic sourcing consulting firm, and she wanted me to meet the supplier. And she said, "Steph, you know, this company is amazing. I don't remember their name, but as soon as I see their card, I'll know." And so she took the binder, giant binder of, you know, business cards and pamphlets she had accumulated over the years and started looking for the business card. And it took her literally about 10 minutes. And when she found it, she gave it to me. She says, "Give it back because I don't want to lose their contact information." And I just thought that was, you know, that was 10 years ago. We already had LinkedIn. We already had Facebook. And I just thought, you know, there's a wealth of intelligence in that binder that she can't even access, you know, effectively, that her team has no visibility on the suppliers that are in the binder, her procurement team has no visibility and the organization is not able to leverage. And that's really what started percolating that I thought, you know, there's an opportunity here to build a solution that would capitalize on that wealth of intelligence and make it, you know, available to teams so that they could make faster decisions. But that's, you know, the key is that that business card, unless she, you know, she was in the room, that she knew what was happening or that there was a potential need or she thought of that supplier, you know, the fact that they're in the binder really doesn't benefit unless, you know, she thought of it. And the information, you know, would stay in that binder, not benefiting the supplier in terms of, you know, who they're connected to and you know, what are they known for by the organization and what's their relationship so that it could be leveraged appropriately and ongoingly, that that person would leave the company while she leaves with her binder, again, it's gone. The institutional knowledge, the legacy, the conversation, it's out the window. And it's, you know, that's what we've been seeing for, you know, years and years, and it hasn't changed. And I think part of the reason we have in our board of advisors, you know, I'd say most of them, if all, not all of them, want to be part of Tealbook is because they've seen this challenge. And they, you know, they saw a solution. It was just a matter of putting it together in a way that, you know, benefited everyone, not just procurement, but the business as well as the suppliers. So it's kind of that, that legacy piece, you know, in very tangible terms. I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago. It was a diversity conference. Had a supplier talking to me. I looked them up by name on my Tealbook app. And we're talking about contingent labor, so it suggested me that they're known for contingent labor. Meanwhile, we also talk about IT specialty, so I added IT. I saw that they're connected to Aaron on my team, and I also added a note that I met them at that conference and then added them to my Tealbook. Well, not only I can find them again, but now my entire team and my peers internally are able to, if they're looking for contingent labor, is the ability to say contingent labor and see that the supplies will come up and we'll see that they have a relationship to me, and then they're able to see also they have a relationship to the organization. And so suddenly that supplier just got not only visibility, is able to stay in my radar. So if I ever need contingent labor with, you know, IT and IT, I'm able to find them again. I don't have to remember their names because it's actually quite impossible. I'm terrible with names and there's so many acronyms of companies, especially if you're meeting those really specialized ones. But I'm able to know that it, when I need contingent labor, I remember meeting someone that or a company that offered that that service. And if anybody in my organization needs contingent labor, the fact that I attended a conference at a diversity conference, I had a conversation with a company who exactly offered these services, well, they're able to benefit from that intelligence in real time and know what the connection is. And that benefits suppliers because now it's instant visibility across the organization, not just, you know, in my binder, that business card has not just gone into my briefcase.
Well, and it's amazing because as much as anybody that's worked in procurement, you know, maybe you admit this with a little bit of shame, but we all know you've got that sort of somewhat dusty, not organized stack of business cards that if you lose them, it is going to be a setback. Well, that's absolutely a problem for procurement and for the organization that's dependent upon that intelligence to make good decisions. It's equally terrifying to think that somewhere else on the planet, there's a person and a company whose growth goals are connected to you being able to find that tiny little piece of cardstock. It's actually a very scary proposition. It goes along with this idea of RFPs being an infliction, which, you know, absolutely the technology is available, and yet people on both sides of the equation need to understand truly what's at stake in order to make the changes associated with making this information available, making it transcend individuals and one-time meetings, so that it can become a knowledge legacy that everyone else in the organization can access.
Yeah, is that, to me, it's so crazy that 2017, you know, you still rely on business cards and where, you know, the list, this nebulous list that people always look for. And, you know, what we know is that procurement has to go through many different sources of data to be able to find suppliers internally, right? It's, you know, if you put information into a list, well, the list may not be as robust or may not give as much perspective. The data may be also pretty static. So you're going to, you know, inevitably you're going to supplement with, you know, business intelligence. You're going to buy a report, wait for a report, read the report. You may go online, but most likely you're going to ask your internal peers. You're going to ask your stakeholders for those recommendations. So it's still exchange, really word of mouth, hallway conversations, emails, and phone calls, not in a way that's retained and is able to be leveraged across the organization. And I often ask, you know, clients, and recently there was a company that had grown, you know, a very large team of category managers through global shared services. And I asked a simple question, you know, how is the supplier intelligence being done and how are they sharing knowledge? And, you know, there was a smile. They don't. And to me, that's crazy. In 2017, that shouldn't be the way, you know, we have the technology. There's no reason for that to happen. And when I look at all the procurement tools that have, you know, where most of the technology that focus is on the process and, you know, from spend management to contract to POs, but not a lot on the intelligence side. And, you know, the ability to find the information fast, instantly, with good intelligence to know which suppliers that they are incumbent, that they're companies that are already, you know, have a relationship with the organization, that potentially are preferred suppliers or approved suppliers, and be able to leverage that, but also look for new companies that are doing things really innovatively based on the fact that, you know, they're solving very similar challenges with very similar type of other clients in a non-competitive environment. If you can find that information, or for one, procurement is then able to influence and add value instantly instead of having to go and find the information. The business gets to move faster. They're looking for agility, for speed, so they're able to then move to the process and get what they need to get done faster. But for suppliers, it enormously streamlines the process because now they're able to leverage that intelligence and those client connections and the knowledge of what they do and be able to put that in front of very similar clients at the exact moment that there's a need for their product and services. So, you know, it's times are changing, and we have the technology. We have, you know, through machine learning and AI, there's an opportunity to go and find those pieces of data and aggregate them in a way that really simplifies the process and benefits all stakeholders and you know, results in much better business outcome. And just recently, we had roundtables across the country with procurement executives, and we had just over 40 progressive, forward-thinking procurement executives. And we did a session in Philadelphia, New York. We had one in Chicago and San Francisco. And what surprised me the most, because it was not part of the agenda, is that they all raised the fact that they were inflicting a process on suppliers. And even one, you know, the table suggested that we should do a roundtable with suppliers and procurement to have the conversation, which really we should do. But it was a pleasant surprise to hear them talk about, you know, if we're putting them through this process, how much are we driving pricing forward? You know, because essentially they're spending so much money to go through the process that they have to recoup, you know, at some point they have to recoup the cost. And imagine if they were taking that time and those resources to, you know, invest in, you know, more value to us or more innovative solution, how much more we would all benefit if we were able to streamline the process. So I think there's a really strong desire on the procurement side to make the process a lot more efficient, not just for them and their stakeholders, but also to make it, you know, much more, you know, effective and productive for suppliers so they can spend their time more effectively.
For anyone that is interested in learning more about Stephanie LaPierre and Tealbook, I will make sure that there is a link to her LinkedIn profile as well as to the Tealbook site and Twitter account on today's Blog Talk Radio page. Thank you to everyone who has joined us for this BMP Radio podcast. Please feel free to share your comments and feedback on this conversation, as well as to share it with anyone from your network that you feel would benefit from the information. And please enjoy the rest of your day.